Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Vore on Monday, the 15th of November, recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, well, mixed to mildly weak. Japan and China were exceptions. Japan up just over 1% on the declining yen, and China a little firmer following its sharp reaction on Friday over talk of additional monetary tightening there. Now, the European stock markets closed up with modest gains across the boards, but they closed as Wall Street was near its highs of the day, and Wall Street actually closed net small losses, very small losses, down on just under 1.5 points, points not percent, on the S&P, the Dow up 9 points. Now, bonds, that's been there's been big action there. The U.S. long bond treasury futures are down 2 and 14/32 as I speak. That's quite a sharp fall. And the bond futures were weak in Europe as well. Also, the Canadian bonds that were Owens short, those have fallen on talk of stronger growth. And let's see, we have precious metals sort of for most of the day on the minus side, seesawed a little bit, rallied, but then couldn't hold the gains and closed lower today. And a good reason for that is the dollar has continued its rally for 6 out of the last 7 days here. And the euro slipped back. Its dollar is particularly strong against the euro, which has slipped back to 135.85. And the dollar is up to 83.18 yen as I speak. So that pulled the precious metals back, and gold is currently at 1360. The industrial metals are mostly down a little bit, although copper's up just a fraction, but well off its highs of the day. The grain and bean complex, however, was steadier in here, although off its highs. But corn up 21 cents today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, after 12 excellent weeks on the upside, there's little doubt that we're in a reaction, possibly correction phase. Chances are that it'll turn out to be just a small reaction for some of the stock market indices around the world, and probably morph into a bigger, longer mean reversion correction for some of the others. Now, we're certainly overdue for something like that. I think I'd been saying on a daily basis, as had Owen, that such a long run of consecutive weeks to the upside was an atypical event, not normal, in other words, and that it would end in a reaction or consolidation, and that a good many indices were overstretched relative to their trend means represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, that's a short-term problem or short-term advantage if you're looking to add to positions on a pullback, and that will probably be a good strategy, although perhaps not just yet. Given the run to the upside, given some of the overextensions relative to the MAs, it wouldn't be at all surprising if we did see this pause last at least through the end of November, and it could push on longer until we get an overall resumption of the upward trend. But I think that, my basic premise would still be the same, that on pullbacks, these markets are a buy. because I don't see any evidence that's going to seriously undermine them. I know there's all this negative pessimism that's been coming out of the United States and will continue to come out of the United States. And there are all these concerns in Euroland over the Irish debt situation and the Portuguese debt and so on. But these are old stories. The housing, U.S. housing mortgages fiasco is an old story in the USA. That's not something that's going to sweep like a tidal wave over the Fed. And equally, Irish debt is not something that's going to sweep like a tidal wave over the ECB. These problems have been around for months. We knew that they would not be resolved quickly. That's always the case with debt problems. But the point is that they are known and are largely factored in. If markets run ahead too quickly and these issues flare up again, as they will periodically, then people take fright for a short while. But you net it all out in terms of changes, and I would say there is no significant change in that Euroland debt situation, although it's just a matter of who's going to stump up the cash for it, just like with the mortgages fiasco. But you look at what else is going around. Some of the things that were worrying me more as far as stock markets were concerned was, one, I didn't want to see a serious run on the US dollar. I didn't think we would, but a lot of people were forecasting it, and that would have begun to look a bit panicky had it occurred, but it's not. The dollar is getting a good technical rally in here. Also, even more seriously, I was worried about even more serious. I was worried about surging commodity prices, particularly if we had a significant run to the upside in the price of crude oil. We were seeing some pretty sharp moves to the upside in a good many agricultural commodities, as you know. And the precious metals were very firm as well, and so that raises inflationary fears as well. And it becomes more than fears if you get staple food prices and crude oil surging to the upside, lifting all energy costs. Well, we've got some respite in that respect. So, oil prices have fallen back, agricultural commodities have fallen back, pretty well all commodities have fallen back from their accelerated highs that we had seen quite recently. So, that takes the heat off in terms of strongly rising commodity inflation. There is still definitely some commodity price inflation in the pipeline because we obviously haven't reversed the whole moves that we'd seen to the upside. But the point is, it's no longer a deteriorating picture in terms of growing evidence of commodity price inflation. They've backed off those highs. Now, clearly, the big hedge fund trade was short US dollar and long all the commodity markets. It doesn't take rocket science to figure that out. And a lot of those positions are now being unwound. As that unwinding process continues, that will create more buying opportunities in the commodities and some selling opportunities again in the US dollar. But we should wait for it. And I don't think it's tomorrow. For instance, how far these markets will pull back, I won't I'm trying to guess. The most important point is that they became overextended. They saw the downward dynamics, and they're in a reactive phase. Commodities are more volatile generally than stock market indices. Commodities were more overextended to the upside generally than stock market indices, and therefore, I feel that this correction, or just a reaction, and my definition of a reaction is that's a few weeks, small move, maybe largely sideways, whereas a correction is something bigger. like a mean reversion move towards the MAs, if you have a clear upward trend as we do, clear medium-term upward trend as we do, and corrections can last anything from 2 3 months to occasionally a year or two. Now, I don't expect anything like that duration for stock markets, because we had that long correction really from sort of end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter of 2009, carrying right on into August of this year. So I don't expect anything of that magnitude as far as the time sequence for equities is concerned. But I think it would be unrealistic to expect uptrends to resume in stock markets following just 1 week's reaction, as we've seen last week, or 1 week or two's reaction. And it would be more likely that we'd see at least several weeks of a reaction corrective process. With the commodities, it could be a bit steeper and a bit longer, as I've already indicated. Now, these long-dated government bonds, prices are weakening, so bond yields are moving upwards. That is favorable for equities at this stage, because what it means is that bond investors are now less concerned about all those deflation depression stories, which Owen and I never believed, as you know. Yes, we had deflationary pressures, but the whole certainly pockets of deflation, but it was mostly disinflation, as I've said before, and the depression fear, I think, was never on the cards here. Well, how can I say that? Well, look at the global GDP figures for one thing. There is a sensational report that you'll be able to access when I've posted comment of the day. It'll take me a while yet to do that, but it's from Standard Chartered, and it's their super cycle forecast, and it's not on commodities, although commodities will certainly feature as part of it, but it's in terms of GDP growth. And this is a fascinating report, and at Fuller Money, Owen and I see one heck of a lot of research, and plenty of it comes in thanks to well-connected investors who pass on the best stuff. But any of you who read research, and particularly the newspaper articles and the more sensationalist stuff, that there's a lot of dross. First, there's a huge amount of repetition. There's a lot of cheerleading, but you keep searching around in there and you find nuggets. Well, this report from Standard Chartered, I wouldn't put in the nugget category. I'd say this is a good solid gold bar in terms of vision information. It has nothing to do with market timing, but it's incredibly useful. And just a few stats from that, what made me aware of this was that I was in the gym this morning, and I heard them mention this an interview, a couple of the economists who had produced this, and they're smart people at Standard and Chartered, but some of the things that some of the data, this is not theory, these are facts, that global GDP doubled in the last decade from 2000 to 2010. Global GDP today is higher than it was at the highs in 2007 and 2008, before the financial crisis. And Standard Chartered think that GDP is going to double again over the next 10 years, and they're also extending that forecast out to 2030. None of it will come as a surprise to veteran subscribers, because our theme has been Asian-led growth really from 2003 onwards, and then that all tying in with the resources and the infrastructure development, all these fuller money themes, including also information technology as part of that massive expansion. And I mean, Standard Chartered are exceptionally bullish on these prospects. And while normally one's wary of any of too much agreement, I should put it, one's normally wary of too much agreement from a contrarian perspective, but this I think is exceptionally good, and it's not a mainstream view. The mainstream view, at least in the West, was all gloom and doom, and that's, you could say that's still the case here today. The Standard Chartered report that I'm referring to puts a lot of numbers, stats, graphs, facts, and meat to all the things that Owen and I have been saying for a number of years here in terms of fuller money themes. And I'll leave it to you to conclude whether you think it's a good logical report or not. I certainly do. I think it's a keeper in terms of a major reference work. Although, of course, as I've already said, it has nothing to do here with short-term timing. And getting back to the short-term timing, one wants to watch and wait here before putting fresh money into either these stock markets or commodity markets. In terms of government bonds, I have taken some profits in here today, and actually I've covered my shorts, so I'm feeling a little naked without any U.S. Treasury bond shorts and hoping for a bit of a bounce. But when I saw that long bond down over 2 points, I one buy order was a limit order that was triggered early today. The second one was when I saw the market down over 2 points, and when I see that, that's usually becoming a little bit overextended. So thus that move. But say I'm hoping for a bounce in those Treasury bond futures, and I'll start reopening shorts as and when it actually occurs. So interesting times in here overall. And on that note, I'll wrap it up and say all the best to all of you.